Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad to see those who participate in Ride for Refuge that you're back safe and sound, all in one piece. It's good to see you this morning. And I want to thank Steve for setting our minds and our hearts on the Lord's Supper. Help us to focus on Jesus. You know, at times we can get it's so easy to get distracted, to get caught up in so many different things, even as Steve shared, to feel the burdens of life. Of course, all of us feel it to one degree or another, but how important it is for us to focus on Jesus. Amen? And so what we're going to do today, we're going to continue to talk about prayer, as Steve alluded to in his communion talk. We're going to continue to elaborate on prayer this morning, but before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we are so grateful to be able to be here this morning. Father, that we can truly sing this morning, how great is our God. That, Father, we can focus on you, we can pray to you, we can sing to you, and Father, we can celebrate the incredible sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you so much for your incredible love. We thank you, God, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for each and every one of us. And we thank you, God, that he raised from the dead. And Father, as we commit our lives to him, Father, we can have power in our lives. And Father, I do want to pray that for each and every person here today, whether disciple, whether someone who is seeking you, Father, I pray that you would really work in each and every one of our hearts. Father, as we open your word, as we talk about prayer this morning, that Father, we will take steps in our lives, Father, to seek you. We'll make the decisions of disciples to grow deeper and stronger in our prayer life. And that, Father, whatever it is that's thrown our way, that, Father, we would not just focus on what is seen, but, Father, we would put our focus on you. And, Father, realize that you are the great and awesome God. And to know, God, that we've put our trust in you, and know, God, that whatever it is that we face in life, Father, you are there for us. You're there encouraging us. You're there for us to support us and help us in all that we go through. And, God, I do pray that your Spirit can work through me here this morning as I preach about prayer. Father, whatever you don't want me to say, please do not let me speak it. Father, whatever you want me to say, please put it on my heart so that, Father, I can be able to preach and really help us to draw our attention on you. Father, thank you again this morning. We're able to be here. Please continue to bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, over the last few weeks, you may have realized we've been talking about prayer. Steve talked about it. I didn't really know what Steve was going to share this morning. I knew he was going to share about Jesus for communion, but other than that, I didn't know he was going to talk about prayer. But what an incredible example of prayer. To see that Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And Jesus himself went out to pray because it was very difficult for him to go to the cross. So he needed to go and pray. You know, you think about our lives as disciples, how we're called to, every day, take up our cross, deny ourselves. And it's not an easy thing to do. But I do believe that if we are to take up our cross daily, to be living lives of denying ourselves and following Jesus, we need to be men and women who pray. Because there's not something that any of us can do on our own. We cannot become Christ-like on our own. We cannot accomplish great things in this city for God on our own. That it has to be where men and women are going to God, petitioning God to work in our hearts, and as well praying for our brothers and sisters, as well as praying for our city. You know, we talked about the God to whom we pray. I talked about the importance of prayer and how the right view of God and prayer leads to change. If we ourselves have the right view of God and we pray to God, we will see change happen in our lives individually. And we'll see change happen in the lives around us. I do believe that if every disciple of Jesus is committed to life-changing prayer, we would be different. And we would make a difference in this world. Tahar, our faith and our love would grow. Different habits would change in our life. And we would become more and more outward focused. I want to read a few quotes from a book I was reading called The Soul of Prayer. It says, prayer, true prayer, does not allow us to deceive ourselves. It relaxes the tension of our self-inflation. It produces a clearness of spiritual vision. True searching prayer is incompatible with spiritual dullness or self-complacency. Another quote says, if there must be in the church a communion of belief, there must be there also a communion of prayer. For the communion of prayer is the very first form the communion belief takes. It is in this direction that church unity lies. It is in prayer that our real idea of God appears. And in prayer that our real relation to God shows itself. You know, as we looked at, as Steve shared the example of Jesus, Jesus knew firsthand the power of prayer. Jesus knew that prayer is essential in the life of every disciple. And I hope to be able to draw your attention to prayer today and the next weeks to come. But I do believe that as we focus more and more on God, as we go and pray to God more and more in our life, God will do so many amazing things in our life. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Today's title is Mountain Moving Prayer. Mountain Moving Prayer. And hopefully in our lives we'll be able to move some mountains. Amen? In Matthew chapter 21, we'll begin reading in verse 18. Early in the morning, Jesus is on his way back to the city. He was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Mountain moving prayer. You know, Jesus is teaching the disciples here with an illustration. And Jesus teaches the disciples that if you only appear to have faith without putting it to work in your life, you are like a fig tree that withered and died because it bore no fruit. And so Jesus is teaching that, you know, genuine faith is rooted in prayer. That genuine faith is rooted in prayer. I'll look at 2 points here this morning. Point number one is we need to have faith in God. To have faith in God. In Mark chapter 11, you don't need to turn there, but in verses 22 to 23, you know, it says to have faith in God. And Jesus says that, you can follow there, I'll kind of continue reading it. It says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes it will happen, it'll be done for them." Another passage in Matthew chapter 17. If you turn there with me. You know, mountain-moving prayer requires us having faith in God. And in Matthew chapter 17, and of course, disciples tried to heal this boy who was demon-possessed. And they were not able to. And in verse 19, it said, "Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, 'Why couldn't we drive it out?' He replied, 'Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you.'" Here another reference. Jesus talked about moving a mountain. The Message translation says in verse 20 it says, "Because you're not taking God seriously." That's another way of that translation. Because you're not taking God seriously. Jesus says to have faith in God. Not for us to put our faith in ourself, in our abilities, in our experiences, because you know what? When all said and done, they're only going to get us so far. But for us to have our faith in God. Faith that does not doubt, but faith that believes. To put our faith in a God who moves mountains. A God who can do the absolute impossible. And he says here, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that you can move mountains. As Steve shared in his communion, it's not about us. It is about God. All God needs from us is faith as small as a mustard seed. He's not expecting and requiring us with great faith. If we have faith, genuine faith, as small as a mustard seed, that God will take care of the rest. And that's all we need. Our faith is only as strong as the object of our faith. But we know here it only takes a tiny amount of faith to do something great. Now, you know what? It's not about us. It's not about our abilities, our gifts, our strengths, our position, our status. But it all comes down to the quality of our faith. Truly believing that we worship an almighty, powerful God. And putting our trust in this almighty, powerful God. You think it's so easy at times to allow ego to get in the way. Where at times I might credit something to myself or believe something depends on me. Rather, when all is said and done, all depends on God. I want you to think about this for a moment. If you could ask God for one miracle in your life, knowing that with 100% certainty that he would grant your request, what would you ask for? Now, some might be saying, maybe the 60 million jackpot, maybe something like that. I'm talking a little bit, let's go a little bit beyond that. Would you ask your marriage to be put back together? Or for your marriage to be a great marriage? Maybe for some situation in your job? Or not having a job to change? Maybe plead for a straying son or daughter to return? Maybe for a loved one to surrender their lives over to Christ? Would you pray for regained health in your body? Sometimes I think that might be one of mine, because I was out playing bowling. I was out bowling with the campus and teams, and afterwards I was like, my body is just falling apart. But maybe in your finances, maybe in your prayer life, what would you pray? You know, whatever your request might be, my challenge to you is to pray about it diligently every single day, bringing it to God. And putting it into God's hands. And allowing God to move these mountains, whatever they might be, in your life. Trusting that He will intervene in your situation and God will act accordingly. When we pray with a faith-filled heart, it is more than a simply empty wish to God. When we pray with a faith-filled heart, I do believe God will work to move mountains in our lives. To have faith in God. And number two, don't focus on the mountain, but focus on God. So don't focus on the mountain, but to focus on God. You know, faith comes by looking at God and not on the mountain. You know, when we face obstacles in life, you know, at times we can do everything but look to God, but focus so much on the mountain. And these mountains could be some kind of habit that we just believe, this is a mountain in my life that I want to see removed from my life. It could be a character flaw that we've been struggling with, wrestling with, maybe a particular sin that we've been trying to change time and time again. A marriage situation, work situation, health challenge. It could be a relationship, an unhealthy relationship. Or it could be a circumstance. You know, I do believe all of us at one point have had different circumstances that have not went the way that we wanted it to go. And in our relationship with God, it may have led to disappointment with God. And we can have this mountain that's a mountain of disappointment in our life. But praying for God to help us to see Him differently and remove that mountain of disappointment so we can see God for who He really is. And unfortunately, at times, these mountains can take up permanent residence in our life, in our minds, in our lives, and render us powerless. You know, at times I've looked at situations and believed, you know what, this situation is not going to change. Sometimes I looked at a situation and thought, you know what, rather than it changing, that situation is going to get worse. And even at times I've prayed and said, you know what, God, I'm not sure what you're trying to see happen. The goal of the situation, it's not coming about the way that I want it to come about. So, you know, so what's the use even praying? And then I ask myself, you know, far beneath the surface of faith and trust, I realize, you know what? I don't actually believe God is going to work in this situation the way that He is capable of working. And it's taken time for me to be, you know what? I need to be honest with myself. It's so easy to go and pray to God. God, You are the God Almighty. We had not really believed that God is truly the Almighty. And that God is really going to work in this situation. But it was only when, in those times when I take my focus off of myself and go to God in prayer until I see things very differently. To see things very differently, to look at things, maybe how God looks at things. And realize that God is capable of handling any problem, any situation, just need to put it into His hands. You know, the challenge is to shift our focus from the mountain and to shift our focus to the mountain mover, which is God. To have mountain-moving faith that leads to mountain-moving prayer. And I do believe we can see God work and remove different things. You know, I do believe at times we can be so performance-oriented works-oriented, that, you know, I have to do this in order for that to happen. I have to do this in order for that to happen. You know, when you read through the scriptures, it's not about us doing. It is about us becoming. It is about us becoming more like Christ, but it's about us becoming God-dependent people so that God can work and do what he wants to do. You know, you think about, in a couple of different examples, I'm going to get you to read it on your own. In Numbers 13, you go on your own, but in this text, you know, Israel was on the brink of the promised land. 12 spies go out to survey the land. And many of you are familiar with it. 10 came back. They said, you wouldn't believe the size of the armies. You wouldn't believe the giants that live in that land. We'd better look somewhere else. And then the 2 came back. Saying, you know, the God who is faithful will give us this land. So let's go in his strength. You know, the 10, they looked at the size of the mountain. And they fell back. While the 2 looked at the mountain mover and just wanted to move forward. You know, you think about another illustration. The Bible is full of them. In 1 Samuel 17, another story you're familiar with, David and Goliath. Israel's warriors were standing on a hill overlooking the battlefield. And were frightened by the size of the giant Goliath. 9 feet tall, large armor and spear. And it says that on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and they were terrified. They saw the army, they saw this mountain in front of them. They're like, you know what? We are going to run. But we know a man by the name of David had a very different response. He remembered how God worked in his life in the past to help him to conquer the lion and the bear. And he knew that God was going to work to help him beat this giant. And so what does David say in 1 Samuel 17, verse 46? It says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down, cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David looked at this mountain, saw this giant, but you know what? He also saw the size of his God. You know that his God was bigger than this giant? He knew that the battle was the Lord's, and he focused on what God did and focused on what God can do. You know, whatever we face challenge in our life, you know, it's always good just to remember, to think back in our life, to think about how God worked in one challenge in our life, he worked in another challenge in our life. You see that God is faithful to us. And that whatever it is we face, God will still work on our behalf. By the time we've got to not focus so much on the mountain or the problem, but to put our attention on the mountain mover, which is God. To shift our focus from the size of the mountain to the sufficiency of the mountain mover. And then to step forward in obedience in whatever it is that God is calling us to. You know, as we walk in obedience, as we pray to God, you know, our faith will grow. Our confidence will grow as we pray to God and we grow in our prayer life. You know, this morning, what mountains stand in your path this morning? What obstacles might be blocking your view, blocking your way? You know, whatever mountain, whatever difficulty immobilizes us, you know, prayer can make an incredible difference. You know, we serve, don't we, an amazing God? We serve a God who is into moving mountains. And we serve a God where there's nothing too difficult for God to handle. But at times we believe, you know what, my situation is too difficult for God to handle. I want to encourage us, encourage you to read the Bible and read about what God had done in the lives of his people. Let's see how God worked one miracle after another, removed one mountain after another. And to see the way that God worked for his people, and to see the way that God can work in our lives if we simply go to him in prayer and asking him to move mountains in our lives. You know, how we view God, what we believe about God will determine what our faith will accomplish. For us not to focus on the mountains in our life, but to focus on God and to focus on prayer. No matter what mountain, to believe, to have faith in what you can become for God, to have faith in what you want to accomplish for God, to have faith in what you want to see the church become for God, to have faith in what you want to see happen in your family, at work, at school, in the community. You know, I do believe if we devote our lives to prayer, individually as disciples, and I'm not talking simply a little snack here or there. I'm talking about life-changing prayer that makes a difference when we go to God, that we're different when we stop praying. It'll make a difference in our life. It'll make a difference in our kids' lives. Because, you know, your kids are going to be amazed thinking about, wow, my parents are praying to God. And look at the power and change that's coming in their life. Where is that coming from? You know, they'll see it's coming from God. They'll see that it's coming from your prayer life, and they themselves will be inspired to change. So I do believe that in whatever situation, whatever we face in our life, you know, we need to have mountain-moving prayer. And let's have faith in God, but let's not focus on whatever mountains that come our way, but let's focus on God and allow God to do great things in our lives. Amen.